Hey, it's Ryan Reynolds, and I'm here with Keith, co-star of my upcoming film, If, only in theaters May 17th. Do you want to tell people the big news? All right, I'll do. Sign up now and you'll get unlimited for $15 a month and 6 months of Paramount Plus Essential Plan on us.
MintMobile.com/switch.
Upfront payment of $45 equivalent to $15 per month. Unlimited over 40 gigabytes per month. Face lower speeds. Videos at 480p. Active Mint customers by 531.24 get 6 months of Paramount Plus Essential Plan. Auto renews after 6 months. Offer ends May 31st, 2024. Separate Paramount Plus registration required. Terms and conditions apply if rated PG.
When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
This is Amy Poehler. My new movie, Disney and Pixar's Inside Out 2, is coming to theaters June 14th. And it's making me feel joy and sadness and anger. Definitely some disgust.
Rose!
And I think a little fear.
Really?
But I'm also feeling these new emotions like anxiety, embarrassment, envy, and ennui.
It's what you call the boredom.
Okay, that one was weird. It's going to be the feel-everything movie of the summer. Disney and Pixar's Inside Out 2, only in theaters June 14th. Get tickets now.
At Evernorth Health Services, we believe costs shouldn't get in the way of life-changing care. And we're doing everything in our power to make it possible. Behavioral health solutions that also keep your projections at their best? It's possible. Pharmacy benefits that benefit your bottom line? It's possible. Complex specialty care that cares about your ROI? It's possible. Because we're already doing it. All while saving businesses billions. That's Wonder made possible. Learn more at evernorth.com/wonder.
Welcome to the family with
Dave Schrader.
Andy Brandt Bernard.
Co-host Catherine Brandt.
I didn't tell him.
Doing the Brady Bunch thing, but yeah. It's camera, so it's backwards. So I'm
a little
confused.
I didn't tell him what the order was, but we figured it out.
Surprise.
It all worked out in the end. That's all I have to say to you. There's no question about it. We talked about this on the morning show, but we'll just address it briefly and then move on, I promise. But if you guys haven't seen the news, now Mom has seen, or she's heard the news.
I endeavor to stay away from the news.
A bunch of jeans, men's jeans, sold out immediately online for $800 a pair. Mm. This is a pair of regular old jeans. Something happened to them, or all of these, because they sold out completely. What is so special about these jeans that they're selling for $800 and sold out the first hour?
Are they defect jeans?
They have $100 bills in the pockets?
Yeah, exactly.
Because I know, like, you know those Amiibo? Well, you probably don't know Amiibo, but it's a Nintendo thing. It's like a little plastic statue that you can, like, put on your game, and it does stuff that isn't really important. But these Amiibos, sometimes they come out of the factory wrong. It's like a hand will be missing or something. And people will buy these things for hundreds and hundreds of dollars because they're unique and they're special. So I'm wondering if, in this case, are we talking about something similar?
Well, I'll give it to you, and you can tell me if it's similar or not. All of the jeans have sold out online. They sold out immediately online. They're $800 a pair for the jeans, and they're $800 because they have pee stains on them.
Literal ones or fake ones?
Fake ones.
Why not just piss your pants and save yourself $100?
Yeah, or just pour water on it. I mean...
You obviously are not tapped into the youth market. Nobody pees themselves
obviously
on purpose. They like to have their pants pre-peed.
It's ironic, yes.
Yeah, just Andy, bring along a little spray bottle, and then everybody will think you spent $800 on your jeans.
There you go.
Andy, then you'll be in with a cool crowd, I guess.
Andy, would you do me a favor? Would you bring up a picture? Because the way the pee is on the jeans looks really weird.
It doesn't.
Because pee doesn't go top to bottom. It goes side to side.
It's homeless chic, I think, is what it's called.
Well, no, it doesn't make physical sense the way they did it.
Homeless
chic
is what he's saying. It makes no sense.
Yeah.
Do you have a picture of it you can pop up on the screen?
If I could find a format that isn't completely
filthy, insane.
What's an AVIF? I've never even heard of that. There we go, JPEG. Good old JPEG.
JPEG.
Well, you know what? It's actually marketing genius because everybody's going to talk about how ridiculous this is. Mm-hmm. Nobody's ever heard of the brand, and now everyone will hear of the brand, and then they can just start making tons of money because now people want that brand.
Okay,
that's
ready, Andy?
What happens.
Show Nana.
TikTok phenomenons.
Ready.
Look at that.
Hmm.
Why is it going from hip to hip?
It spreads. he's obviously wearing bikini briefs, so when you pee, it goes out through the sides.
I think he might have two penises.
Oh.
That may be why men want it. So they're like, hey, ladies, look, I can pee on both sides of my jeans.
Yeah, I've got a two-year-old, so I'm very familiar with pee pant patterns.
Mm-hmm. Oh, yes, you are.
Yeah, usually starts familiar as a circle and then goes down one leg.
And he's got PSI. Yep. He knows how to look into these things. Mm-hmm.
Yes, I know a fake when I see one. Take out my little jeweler's monocle.
Yeah.
The way this pattern, it just doesn't make sense.
Well, if they're selling that for $800 a pair, Bernard family, how about you jump in on this with me and we create dirty hobo water, where it's water that we've collected under benches that hobos sit on, and we sell it to people because it's pristine. It's part liquor, part must, and a good chance of herpes.
Yeah.
If they like PPG, dirty hobo water seems like a natural.
Yeah, or shit stains. I mean, why not we just jump right to shit stains?
May as well.
Why not?
I mean,
only in white pants, though. You have to be wearing white pants.
Mm-hmm. Khaki would work.
Oh, yeah. Khaki would work, too. That's very... Where do these... we'll get away from this in the next couple of minutes.
Oh, but it's all fun.
But what... Who said, why don't we show pee jeans and we'll sell them for $800? Who came up with this brilliant idea because he suckered in every young guy in the country?
Because it is, like I said, it is actually marketing genius because I've always said you need to, there's really very few places to go to be outrageous, to get attention.
That's true. Yeah.
In a world just filled with brands of jeans and tennis shoes and every kind of everything in the whole wide world, you have to get the noise out there so people will look at you. Because you can't just, look, we have a great, big, sturdy, wonderful product that will last you 10 years and is, mm-hmm. Nobody cares about that. Everybody's on the newest, greatest, latest TikTok phenomenon, and that's just where we are as a culture.
Well, if they make padded bras, then why don't we at least get in the business of check out my package jeans, where we just sew like a little, like a sock right into that part.
Like a cod piece. Yeah, exactly.
Yeah.
Bring cod pieces back. It's been 500 years.
You spearhead it. I'll follow you, Andy.
It might be a fungal problem.
Fungal?
Don't you think?
Maybe.
If you got some sort of plastic cup right over that.
Well, that's what I said. No plastic cup. You just
moist and icky.
Just like a little sock, tube sock that's rolled up, and you just sew it right into the jeans so it just constantly looks like you're packing.
There you go.
I think that could be definitely a TikTok phenomenon.
Yeah,
absolutely. And what would your follow-up brand be? I mean, or is this just a one and done?
Well, pee-pee pants. Let's see where it goes next. Baby steps, Catherine. Let's not try to set the world on fire with every new innovation.
How about, vomit shirts? You could, vomit all over your shirts.
Yeah,
Mom's
like
spaghetti.
That. Yeah.
Anything disgusting.
Yeah. How about just anything like a split in the back of your pants and we call them the vent ports?
There we go.
Yep.
We could come up with all kinds of stuff.
Done
just follow
done.
A toddler around and whatever gross thing they do, you just market it and there you go.
It's all true. So, Mr. Schrader, what's six months away?
It is Halloween. That's a new
Halloween
celebration.
Halloween
Halloween. Okay. We are exactly halfway between now and Halloween. So, I thought it's a new. We need more Halloween in the world. So, I figured let's start celebrating Halloween at the 6 month mark.
I do remember as a little boy growing up, there was a family on the block who did not celebrate Halloween. Because his family would not celebrate evil.
My school when I was 13-ish. They wouldn't celebrate Halloween.
The big mistake school.
Mm-hmm. That wasn't.
You were there for what? 1 month?
No, it was probably 6 months.
Not long.
It wasn't a full year. I can tell you that much.
Yeah, they were kind of a cult.
They were very intense with their beliefs.
I don't know.
Andy,
I guess
welcome.
I didn't think that those existed in those
days. We think
days.
You're going to fit in just perfectly in this school. And here, would you like a cup of virgin blood to start your day?
Thanks, Mom.
That should have been the first clue.
I think they started in September and were out by November 15th.
Yeah,
they were not still there
at
Thanksgiving.
Andy's wearing a black cloak at home, and I'm like, oh, God, what did I do now?
Carrying a large dagger.
Well, it was before Google search, in my defense. Yeah, it was before Google search.
Understandable. Good gravy.
Yeah, no duck, duck, go back then.
Yeah, there's a lot of, I'm trying to remember what they call it. It's not Halloween, but a lot of churches will celebrate Halloween, and they've got Holyween. Which even sounds weirder.
That's horrible.
But like you can go dressed as your favorite, manger scene person or
biblical character,
and then you're trunk or treating in the parking lot. So you go.
Yeah, Halloween.
Okay. Yeah.
I got Catholic.com's got an article about it on there.
Mm-hmm.
So it's the Ned.
From 2001. So this is
It's the Flanders version.
Idly ho, neighborino.
Uh huh.
Happy Halloween. We always celebrated
Hidey-ho.
Halloween at St. Joe's and St. Anne's. We had Halloween.
Well, it's not an inherently evil holiday.
Yeah, people just weren't just so crazy back in those days. We just did stuff and had fun.
It didn't
have to be dissected and politicized and people pointing fingers and blah. Didn't do that.
It didn't actually start out as Halloween. It was hobo days. And I know that sounds weird since I brought up dirty hobo water earlier.
Sure.
But it was actually hobo days.
Really?
And it was in New York. Yeah. And kids would dress up as hobos and go and beg for food at your door, and they would give you food. And it was this cute little deal. And then I think it was maybe after the Depression or during World War II that they were like, this is kind of not classy. Maybe we should. So then kids started dressing up in costumes, and then they moved that over for Halloween. They used to have full parades, hobo parades and everything. It's really amazing the history of where it all came from.
Interesting.
Yeah.
I thought it was All Hallows Eve. I thought it was related.
Well, that was the pagan situation, right? So we're just trying to take that over. And it's never really been about the evil. We dress up in scary costumes in order to be offensive to evil. Because why there are gargoyles on buildings and why we carve turnips and pumpkins is we make them scary because it's an affront to the demonic realm. They don't want to lay their eyes upon something so horrific because they believe they're beautiful, amazing beings and shouldn't have to deal with the humanity and see ugly things. So that's why we decorate it up. Yeah.
I relate.
Well, shouldn't have turned my camera on. Sorry, Catherine.
What do you mean you were late? You're married to me. What the hell?
I don't want to see ugly things either.
Oh, God. Here we go. Here we go. Yeah. But in any case,
Joe says, welcome back, and it's about time, by the way.
Yeah, well, it's only been about 3 years since I visited the show.
Dave's
been busy.
It's been 3 years?
Yeah. Have you been in this building?
Yes, I have. Remember, because I was surprised by the new layout in here. You didn't used to have this wall punched out.
This is new as of about a year ago.
Yeah.
So it's been at least a year.
Uh-huh.
God.
Yeah.
Yep.
Last time I was here, they dropped me off in a horse-drawn wagon out front.
Mm-hmm.
So it was quite a while. But
they tried to
sell you a
card piece on your way in.
Yeah. I asked Andy if I could come on and talk about my new book, Theater of the Mind, Tales from the Darkness.
Love it.
Yeah.
You're always welcome in the show. You should come in Mondays anyway.
Yeah. When I'm in town, I'd be happy to. Yeah, I try to hit the road.
Apparently never.
No, actually, it's getting better. Mondays are my easy day.
Mm. Oh, what's your book about?
It's a collection of 15 different short stories that are real supernatural experiences people have had. Mm-hmm. And two of the stories are mine. One is about a haunted doll. One is about my time at a haunted hospital here when I was brought in to have gallbladder surgery and had it removed. I had ghosts in my room, so I share that. But I had all these great stories from people, everything from time slip phenomena to changelings in Ireland to doppelgangers to aliens, UFOs, monsters, the Bloody Bones Man, black-eyed kids. And I figured, well, let's just make a cool little book that covers all of the different stories. So it's not just a ghost story book. It gives you a wide swath of different stories, and called Theater of the Mind, Tales from the Darkness. You can get physical or electronic copies on Amazon.com. Or you can order signed copies from my website at paranormal60.com.
Okay, do you hold it up again? I want to see the cover again.
Sure, yeah.
It's holographic.
Who's the little kid?
That's the black-eyed kids. That's the little girl.
Oh, it is. Okay.
Yeah.
Okay.
There was a movie about those kids, wasn't there?
Yeah, Don't Let Them In, I think, was the
movie.
Yeah. They kind of leaned into that vampire effect of the black-eyed kids.
They do like a vampire in movies.
Right. Well, yeah, and anytime you can get these, when you mix kids being the antagonist in these movies, whether they're ghosts or demons or vampires, like the new movie Abigail that's out, really a good, fun movie. And it's a really interesting little twist, but it's about a vampire. Okay. I'm not giving anything away. It's in the trailer. You see her turn into a vampire. But, yeah, anytime you can make the kid kind of the evil villain of the movie, it gets into your psyche a little bit deeper because, yeah. Holy Christmas, you know, who wants to deal with that?
Right. I agree. Well,
makes sense.
Yeah.
Well, so when did you write the book? You just got finished with it?
Well, what I've done, you know, I was on Darkness Radio for 16 years, and I used to take these stories people would send in to me to share on the show, and I started creating them in a thing called Theater of the Mind, where I would flesh out the story a little bit, just adding elements that Tim could add sound effects to. So instead of Tom just saying, yeah, so I pulled up and got out of the car and I saw this thing flying over the house, I'd say I was walking up the driveway, the crunch of the rocks beneath my feet, and Tim would add layers of sound effects. So I just fleshed it up, and I had all these stories languishing in my drawer, and I thought, well, it's really a shame because these are really good stories people sent me. And I wrote to the authors, and I said, can I share, I'm going to put out a book, and I'd love to include this story. And many of them were like, fantastic, and I love the way you cleaned up my grammar and cleaned up the writing. Feel free to use it. And the people that were okay with me using their names, I used their names. And some of the stories, we never reference who's telling the story because they wanted to, you know, believe it or not, we have doctors and lawyers and brain surgeons and politicians that listen to the show, and they want to share their story, but they're like, hey, don't tell anybody who I am. So, right. Yeah, we give a chance now for everybody's story to come to life and get a chance for people to read it. Just kind of a fun, weird, spooky book.
Nice.
Yeah.
Congratulations. That's not a small accomplishment.
Well, and I'm already deep into book two, so I'm hoping to release that around the end of June. Yeah.
Oh, Judy.
Is that him coughing?
Yes.
Oh, that's rough cough.
He has pneumonia.
He's got to give up that smoking.
He does.
Sounds
he's got
like
to back
it,
off
huh?
the smoking.
Did you hear about the menthol cigarette thing?
Well, I saw it on TV, but I didn't pay much.
Well, it was interesting because I don't know where I was or I had the radio on in the car. Switch. I know. And there was this ad about that they're trying to, there was supposedly going to be a ban on menthol cigarettes.
Right.
But it really irritated the black community because apparently, and I'm not making it up. They said on the radio that more black people smoke menthol cigarettes.
Yeah, no, that's been the reason they're not allowed to ban them is because it, black
people. Well, they were going
affected.
To do it. They were fighting to ban them because apparently menthol cigarettes are harder to quit than regular cigarettes.
That's what they say.
I don't know. That's what they say. Well, all of a sudden, it did not pull well with the black community, so Joe Biden is like, nope, we're not going to ban menthol cigarettes.
Wait a minute. In an election year, he's siding with a huge swath of the voters?
Yeah, anybody that'll
I understand why menthol would be more addictive, right? There's that sensation, that tingle.
Yes. Yep.
I'm not a smoker.
It's a little
but
more pleasant.
I know my wife is addicted to Vicks VapoRub.
Oh, yeah.
Because she likes that smell and that. Mm-hmm. So when she gets her congestion and stuff, she'll heap it on. If she could wear it year-round as a perfume, I think she would do it.
And keep cats away, too.
Yeah.
What is in the menthol cigarette that makes it menthol? Do they put mint in the...
It's menthol. Menthol is a type of oil that's similar to mint.
Right.
Menthol is literally the name of the thing that they put in it.
Menthol is in Vicks VapoRub. Yes. It's that oily chemical. Yeah, that gives you that and opens
like
up your sinuses and
stuff.
Well,
there's
camphor
and there's all kinds of different things that kind of do that, but I didn't know.
Yeah, menthol in particular is the, yeah.
So it's probably a chemical?
It's the oil in mint leaves, I think. Don't quote me on that.
That they use in the cigarette.
Yeah.
Yes.
Okay.
Yeah, in the filter, right? Or is it entwined in the tobacco itself?
I think they put it in the tobacco. Maybe.
Hmm.
I guess it depends. Like the cheaper ones, probably. Yeah, they just have to drop in the filter. But
well, I'm sure they have statistics on how many more people get lung cancer or COPD because they smoke menthol versus regular ones. I'm sure.
Well, only the people
stats.
That want to focus on the negative, Catherine.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, exactly.
Why don't you focus on the
like
cool
I said, vote
flavor.
For me. I don't care about your lungs,
Catherine. If smoking was so bad for you, why would Fred Flintstone and Barney Rubble have done Winston commercials back in the 50s and 60s?
They taste good, like a cigarette should.
That's right.
Funny.
You know, to address the fact that you brought up that menthol cigarettes mostly smoked by black people.
Cools.
Remember.
Cools.
Cool Miles.
Newport, too.
Newport.
Man.
Oh,
yep.
I did forget about Newport.
But my favorite of all time on one of the talk shows, I can't remember which one it was, but this black guy wins the lottery, right? No, it's the black guy's show. So
Chappelle's show, I think.
Yeah, it was Dave Chappelle. That's exactly who it was. You're right. It was Dave
Chappelle. Sounds like a Chappelle thing. Mm-hmm.
But he wins the lottery, comes home, first thing he went out and bought was a semi full of cool cigarettes. An entire semi.
Most popular guy in the neighborhood, right there.
Well, I could be honest with you. I stopped smoking. I started smoking when I was 11, stopped when I was 21, just before I turned 21.
I bet you were a menthol smoker.
I was, absolutely.
I knew it. I just knew it.
Well, living there on 26th Avenue North, you had to smoke cool milds or some of those because there were cool milds, too. There were cools and cool milds.
Do you remember clove cigarettes?
They still exist. It's very hip in the
really?
Yeah. It's very hip in the alternative market. All the tea, coffee drinkers, and Birkenstock wearers love the clove cigarettes when we're at holistic fairs and such.
I didn't know that was still a thing.
Yeah,
we do have to wrap this up with one other stat that I just love. A pack of cigarettes is now $15 for one pack of cigarettes. When I was quit smoking. That was been in 1971. I quit smoking in 71. A pack of Larks was 31 cents. That's 45
if you had only
times.
Known to buy a giant refrigerated warehouse.
Yes, exactly.
Fill them up with cigarettes and wait 30 years.
In one 55-year period, not quite, 53-year period, they went up in price. By 45 times?
Mm-hmm. Well, I think the logic behind that was if we just keep taxing it and taxing it and taxing it, people will stop smoking.
Never. They will. That will never.
I don't see young people smoking.
No,
that much.
You don't.
I really don't.
No,
they're vaping.
Yep.
They are vaping, and they're doing. Yep. They're vaping marijuana products a lot, like on the streets constantly. They're always token on the vape thing, but I don't see them smoking cigarettes.
Yeah, but vaping's just as bad for you as smoking because of what's
Depends.
In the vape.
Well, the oil they're saying, right, is starting to coat the inside of the lungs, and that's causing nasty stuff.
Yeah, vaping this like street THC, absolutely not a good idea.
No.
It's probably safer drinking it, although don't do that
There's
either.
A woman on our floor who is hitting the pipe.
Yeah,
oh, my God.
You come out of the elevator, and you're like, holy God. 8 o'clock in the morning. it's 11
true.
O'clock at night.
The whole floor
stinks all the time.
Well, I'm
the
married to both floor. Cheech and Chong. My wife, because of her medical conditions, is on the medical marijuana vape. And there's times I'll walk into her little office area and studio. It's just a wall of vape smell and marijuana. And I'm like, what's up, Cheech? And I'm just working, man.
It's really hard
it
to work,
very
man.
Very strong.
Is that text you're sending so important that you missed your turn? Is that text you're sending so important that you ran the red light? Is that text you're sending so important you didn't see the ball coming onto the road or the child that followed? Hi, I'm Mike Bryant from Bradshaw & Bryant. When you take your eyes off the road for even 4 seconds, your vehicle travels 100 yards. That's the entire length of a football field. If you absolutely have to text, you need to pull off the road somewhere safe and do it from there. Texting and driving is against the law and can cause serious injury or even death to you and others. Now that is important. We hope you're never injured in a collision, but if you are, please contact us.
Find Bradshaw and Bryant, personal injury attorneys at minnesotapersonalinjury.com.
Going farther with Mike Bryant on your side, seeking justice for the injured. Bradshaw and Bryant.
Tom here. For years, you've heard me talk about my friends at North American Banking Company. They have great online and mobile banking options, plus friendly employees who are always ready to help. And with their location in Maple Grove now open, it's even more convenient for me and my family. Go visit my friends at any one of their 6 Twin Cities locations or go online to nabankco.com to learn more. Why not bank with my banker? North American Banking Company, a better banking experience, member FDIC, and equal housing lender. You all have helped build MyPillow into the incredible company it is today and have trusted in Mike Lindell to give you a great night's sleep. Mike's latest incredible deal is on the Giza Dream Sheets, which you've heard me rave about before, that's for sure. These sheets are made from the world's best cotton, Giza. They are ultra soft and breathable, yet extremely durable. Right now, the Giza Dream Sheets at its lowest price ever. These sheets are 60% off, coming in as low as $39.99 with promo code TOM.
Your brain needs support, and new Ollie Brainy Chews are a delightful way to take care of your cognitive health. Made with scientifically backed ingredients like Thai ginger, L-theanine, and caffeine, Brainy Chews support healthy brain function and help you find your focus, stay chill, or get energized. Be kind to your mind and get these nootropic chews at Ollie.com. That's OLLY.com. These statements have not been evaluated by the Food and Drug Administration. This product is not intended to diagnose, treat, cure, or prevent any disease.
Hey, it's Kaylee Cuoco for Priceline. Ready to go to your happy place for a happy price? Well, why didn't you say so? Just download the Priceline app right now and save up to 60% on hotels. So whether it's Cousin Kevin's Kazoo Concert in Kansas City, go Kevin! Or Becky's Bachelorette Bash in Bermuda, you never have to miss a trip ever again. So download the Priceline app today. Your savings are waiting.
Go to your happy place for a happy price. Go to your happy price, Priceline.
She has a what is her new podcast?
Yes, it is Mysteries, Mayhem, and Merlot. So she looks into crime, mysterious disappearances. She just did an episode, whole episode yesterday on the Weepy Voice Killer.
Oh, yeah, I remember.
Oh,
that.
Yeah.
Yeah. Don't talk, just listen.
Yeah.
Oh, creepy God, story. That was creepy.
I don't understand how that story has not taken off and made into a movie of some sort.
Yes.
That is such a bizarre, weird tale. And she does these cool little, like, 30, 35-minute podcasts where she'll give you all the details and information, play some of the original audio from the police calls. And it's called Mysteries, Mayhem, and Merlot, and comes out audio version every Saturday, and then you can watch the video over on the Paranormal 60 YouTube channel.
It's so weird because I was going to start a podcast called
Merlot. She's vaping, mm-hmm. So by 15 minutes, yeah. Is she a little slurry?
We say she's talking in cursive, mm-hmm. Catherine. She's very comfortable. Let's just put it that way.
You should tune into my new podcast, Toddler's Terror and Tequila.
There you go. Now we're talking.
It's later.
Do you know you would kill with that podcast? You should actually do that.
Drinking a bunch of tequila and talking about Ethan.
Yes.
Ethan's crazy, whatever.
Oh, he's got a lot of crazy stuff.
He does. A wild man sometimes.
Except when he's watching Tumbleleaf with Bop Bop, then he's nice and quiet.
Yeah, his half hour a day of quiet time.
So how funny is this? So you're Bop Bop and Nana, right?
Yep.
So my grandson Declan, who lives with us half the time because his dad works right up by us, so we keep an eye on him during the week.
Oh, okay.
I'm Pop Pop and Winnie's Nana.
Oh,
so
Bop,
yeah,
Bop, yeah, Bop, Bop, Bop,
he knows.
Yeah, you're a lot of Pop Pops.
I go away to do an event and I come back yesterday and he's got a white blanket over him, and he comes up to scare me as a pookie ghost.
Yeah,
I'm a pookie ghost, Pop Pop. I'm a pookie ghost. So he knows what I do, and he's all in, all in.
Yeah, Ethan does. He throws a blanket over my head, and he says, "Ghost, Daddy."
I'm like, "Ghost."
Okay, sure. I don't think that's quite the spirit of the game, but you know.
Where is he getting ghosts from? Mickey Mouse Club or whatever he's watching?
No, he's seen ghosts. You know, he's like
Halloween.
Like
yeah.
Charlie Brown probably was the first time he ever associated a blanket over your head with a ghost.
Yeah. Yeah.
Yeah, and so I mean, it's a very recognizable thing.
That's
so
true.
And it's like they're very common in like children's entertainment. It's like probably the least scary of the scary monsters there is. Just a floating sheet that goes boo, you know, it's not the scariest thing in the world.
Can you find the old Casper the Friendly Ghosts?
Oh, yeah, they're still. You can find them on YouTube. I think they're on Tubi and a couple other places you can watch them. Yeah.
Loved it.
Yeah, I love that show.
Casper and Wendy the Good Little Witch and
Wendy the Good Witch.
Yeah, there was the little hot stuff, the little devil.
Oh yeah.
Oh yeah. That's old.
Thanks, Catherine.
Hey, from generation to generation, mm-hmm. do these stories carry through to the next generation, the generation after that? The people, I mean, I love ghost stories. Mm-hmm. I used to love watching. The horror movies aren't as good as they used to be. They've gotten way too violent,
right?
Which I don't.
Once
really
again,
care.
They have to keep pushing the envelope.
Yeah, they do.
Horror movies are also what's really kind of telling is horror movies are kind of a reflection of the time.
Yeah,
and
true.
When you've got violence constantly taking place and shooting, it's kind of like people are so desensitized. Just a charming little ghost story is not that impressive
that's
anymore.
That's very true.
No,
so they've gotten
sad.
Into things like Strangers and The Purge and Saw. Because it's visceral, and it suddenly is you need more to hit that nerve center. However, with that said, there's been a few movies like Sinister was a really good mind screw horror movie. And The Conjuring, the first one, is one of the best ghost story movies. It's not, you know, it's based very loosely on the original story, the real case. But that is such a good ghost story in a horror movie because it gets into your brain. And again, when you're putting kids in jeopardy with ghosts, that amps up the hype factor. Mm-hmm. So there are a few movies that still get by that are really, really well done. But how sad is that? I think those two movies both came out now, believe it or not, about 10 to 15 years ago.
Right.
Sure.
So.
Yeah, I could see that. I just, I have to ask this because I only went to Catholic school until I was in ninth grade. Then I went to a public school. But Halloween and ghostness were huge in Catholic school. Is it mostly Catholic school kids that are into that?
I'm a Lutheran boy, so I grew up with ghosts and listen, we were inundated. We had Hardy Boys novels, which were the Haunted Tower, the Haunted Clock Tower, the Haunted Ship. Then you've got Scooby-Doo, the Funky Phantom. You've got the original Ghostbusters cartoon that was nothing to do with the show that we're used to watching. Then there was the Ghostbusters TV show, which was nothing to do with the show. It had Larry Storch and...
I can't remember.
The two main guys from F Troop, Larry Storch and his captain, were in the Ghostbusters, and they had a gorilla with a beanie cap, and they would go out hunting ghosts. And then you had Witchy Poo and all of these shows that kind of, as kids, we were just constantly, Bewitched, I Dream of Jeannie. We were constantly around that kind of deal. So I'm not surprised that it is as big as it is and as popular as it continues to be. But yeah, folklore and stories continue to be passed down because it's something we can't put our finger on. And no matter how intelligent or scientific you are, when something weird happens, it makes you pause and reflect on, wow, maybe I don't know everything. And that's kind of cool.
Speaking of folklore and stories, we have a caller, a Mike, who has a ghost story, a personal experience with ghost stories.
Mike.
Hey.
What's up?
Happy Halloween.
Halloween to you. Say, like 35 years ago, I was helping one of my old girlfriends move out of this old house on the north side of La Crosse. And me and this Navy buddy of mine were getting the last couple armloads out of the house. And we were upstairs in this bedroom. And there was a closet that had no door on it. And there was nothing in it. But we're picking up the last couple of boxes. And I hear this little kid's voice out of the closet say, "Mommy?" And I looked at this buddy of mine. And I said, "Did you?" And he looked at me and said, "Mommy?" He heard the exact same thing I heard.
Great.
So we left the house in a damn hurry, but we both heard a little kid's voice in his closet say "Mommy," and we're like, "Holy crap balls!" But
See, kid ghosts, freaky as hell. Yeah. It's a worst ghost to run into.
Worst kind of ghost.
Yeah, give me a headless horseman any day. You throw a kid ghost in there, and I'm done.
Yeah, I understand. No question. No, did you ever see anything, or just hear it?
We just heard it. And then I cooked at a Boy Scout camp up the river from La Crosse, and that camp started in 1922. And there was some weird stuff at that camp, too. There was lights going on and off in the barn all by themselves. And the mixer in the kitchen that I cooked in would turn on and off by itself once in a while.
Oh, fun.
So, yeah, I've had some run-ins. But, yeah, people say, "Oh, no, that's not true." I heard it. I heard "Mommy" from something that wasn't. That wasn't me or that buddy of mine. Because anyway, well, you have a good day.
Thank you,
Thanks,
Mike.
Thank you.
I don't know if I actually had a ghost experience or if we just all made it up.
What?
Well, let me ask. Was there medical vape involved?
Well, not at all. Okay. Like, I moved out of my home as a 17-year-old almost. I was going to college. And I decided that I was going to be roommates with four other people in St. Paul, of all places. So convenient to the University of Minnesota.
Yeah.
And this house was a great big old house right there on Robert Street, right by the bridge and the river and all that stuff. And it was really nice and cheap rent. So we're in there for about 3-4 months, and really strange stuff kept happening. Like the thermostat would be turned way, 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 way down to the point where you could see your breath in the house.
God. That's not good.
I don't even know if we were paying for the heat. So it was like, why would somebody do that? And nobody would ever confess to it. And then the plants would be overwatered, like dripping all over the place, like tons and tons of water all over the floor. And we're like, who's overwatering the plants? You're ruining the table. You know, everybody's arguing all the time about these weird things that would happen. And there was another thing, too. I don't remember what it was. The thermostat, the plants. Can't remember what else it was. It was also the fact that the guys wouldn't clean the toilet.
What?
That's definitely a sign of the paranormal. Yeah.
Paranormal.
But we were convinced that the place was haunted. We were just convinced. Just because of the... Oh, I think somebody had a pet snake or something in their room. And they were finding weird things in the snake...
Habitat? The aquarium.
It was like in an aquarium. They were finding strange things in there, and they were accusing people of trying to kill a snake.
Oh, yeah.
Now, everybody was arguing about the stupidest things that nobody... I mean, I was never even home. I came home to sleep. I was at school and work all day long, like, constantly.
Well, you know, that's kind of an interesting element of a haunting as well, is the fact that there are people that have these experiences, and they... getting along great, they're loving, happy couple, they buy this new home, and immediately start... like fighting constantly over everything and anything. And it's like, as soon as they part ways, get divorced and move out, things settle down in their lives. They're like, I don't even know why were we fighting all the time? And a lot of people believe it's the spirits agitating the living that are in that home to get them out.
I don't know, but the poor landlord, he pulls up, we're all moving out. He's like, why, what's happening? You have a lease. We're like, we're not, it's haunted. We're out.
It's haunted.
What
did he say to that?
He said, well, what am I going to do?
Yeah,
so he admitted it was haunted?
No, he didn't say it. He didn't admit it. He was just like, well, what am I going
to, yeah, not, you can't not, force them to
stay. How's he
going to
enforce the lease on, you know, a bunch of, you know, 18-year-olds? He should never have rented it to us in the first place. We had no track record.
Well, that's right. There's
being reliable.
No credit.
There's a website you can go to called diedinhouse.com, where it's like 12, 13 bucks. You type in your address, and it does a full abstract pull on your home. And we'll tell you if it was ever a meth den, if it ever flooded, if there was a fire, and who died while owning the home. So people that have had these haunting experiences, diedinhouse.com might give you an idea of who it is that's turning your heat way down or your air conditioning on high or overwatering your plants. Then you know which ghost to address.
We were just convinced. And like I said, I don't know if we just were a bunch of stupid kids and...
Could be a little from column A, a little from column B. Who knows?
Maybe it was
a stupid ghost teenager. There you go. Both at the same time.
Dave, would you hold up your book again? Because I want to ask you a couple of questions about this. Okay, so the book is called
Theater of the Mind: Tales from the Darkness.
Excellent, wonderful. I have never had a ghost experience. Why have I never had? Did they not come to North Minneapolis when I was a kid?
That's not true, Tom. You told me about when you were a kid, and wasn't it your grandmother's ghost that came to visit you?
Oh, that's right. She did when I was 4 years old.
Let me tell you your ghost story, Tom.
It was my great-grandmother. Yeah, I was 4 years old, and she stood at the end of my bed.
Oh, I had that happen with my grandpa, I think.
Really?
Yeah. Mm.
But I didn't know she was dead. Now, if somebody told me she was dead and I saw her, that'd be different.
Right.
But I had no idea she was dead, because when I said, where'd great-grandma go? Because what are you talking about? Her name was Susan Barnard. That was her full name. I said, well, great-grandma Barnard was talking to me this morning. My mother's like, what are you talking about? And then I said, blah, blah, blah. And she goes, Tom, she's dead. You're right. You know, I tend to forget about that because it literally was like she was there. It wasn't like wispy or any of that stuff.
A lot of people get those visitations. Sammy Hagar tells the story where his dad showed up at his apartment, and he's like, what are you doing here? And they had a strained relationship, and, you know, his dad came by to kind of show a little love, and then he's like, no, you need to go. And his dad left, and then he found out that his dad had actually died before, like a day before, on a park bench in some park or something. Yeah, so it was really, and he felt bad for tossing the ghost out, not realizing it was a ghost. But there, and I'm loosely translating, it might be a little different in the detail, but it's funny how many celebrities, I love celebrity biographies, especially when I can get them on Audible and hear them reading their story.
Yeah.
And it's funny how many have had ghostly encounters. You know, Sammy Hagar, Dolly Parton, even Sir Patrick Stewart from Star Trek The Next Generation and the mm-hmm. X-Men movies talks about ghosts throughout his entire autobiography. But there's so many of these people that have had these experiences and they're just like, yeah, it is what it is. Or how many of them reluctantly went to see a palm reader or a psychic who said, something huge is coming your way in the next year. You're going to be a big celebrity. And 8 months later, they explode on the scene. So it's kind of cool that it is something that the paranormal is kind of the great evener. Everybody has an experience one way, shape, or form. Whether you choose to believe it or not is another case. But, I mean, it's like we're all fascinated by what happens after we die. We're all fascinated by the concept of aliens and could there be these large bipedal hairy creatures walking in our forests? You know, it's just something that allows still a little bit of that childhood imagination and magic and awe of the world to still exist in our adult minds.
When you go to a restaurant, you expect the chef to be an expert. You expect your auto mechanic to be an expert when it comes to fixing your car. You judge them both by the results of their work. Josh Arnold is an expert in investments and planning your financial future. Josh Arnold is my expert, and he should be yours too. I talk to Josh every week, and he understands the market and the economy, and he knows how to plan for your retirement. Don't put it off another day. The man with your plan is Josh Arnold. Call Josh now for a no-obligation 48-minute evaluation. You've got nothing to lose, and you'll have an expert planning and managing your financial future. Call Josh at 952-925-5608. That's 952-925-5608. Investment services offered by Josh Arnold Investment Consultant, LLC Security Investment Advisor. Past performance is no guarantee of future results. All investments involve risk. All comments and opinions are Josh Arnold's and do not constitute investment advice. Tom Bernard is a paid endorser.
Hi, everybody. This is Adriana Trigiani. I'm the host of You Are What You Read. I have the privilege of interviewing luminaries of our times about the books that shaped them from childhood until now. We get everybody from Sarah Jessica Parker to Kristen Hanna, Mitch Albom, Susie Essman, Craig Ferguson, Rainn Wilson, Amor Towles, you name it, they come, they share. New episodes of You Are What You Read drop every Tuesday on Apple, Spotify, or any major streaming platform wherever you listen to your podcasts.
You know, it's interesting about what just happened to me just now. As I said, I've never seen a ghost. Because to this day, it's in my head that she was not a ghost.
Mm-hmm.
Isn't that weird?
No.
I didn't even know that was happening.
Yeah, a lot of people have that experience where it's totally physical. They can see them. They're like, what's going on, Grandma? Why are you here? And they're like, oh, I wanted to stop by and tell you how much I love you and whatever. Mm-hmm. And then they disappear or they walk out of the room. And minutes later, the phone rings. And it is... it's a death call, and you find out that that person 500 miles away just passed away and could not have possibly been there. But, you know, that it's not totally uncommon. But why do some people have the experience and other people don't? That's kind of the magic of it. Look, you didn't remember having a ghost story till I reminded you. And,
yes,
and many people
right.
put that off because it's like, logically, this doesn't add up for me, so I'm just going to shelve it. And a lot of times... you know, when I'm out traveling and I'll be on a plane and somebody next to me wants to be a chatty patty and they're like, oh, are you on, you know, vacation or work? I'm like, a little bit of both. Well, where are you going? I'm going to the Stanley Hotel. Oh, isn't that the one from The Shining? And I'm like, yep, that's the one that inspired The Shining.
Yep.
Why are you going there? Now I have one of two choices. I can admit that I'm a paranormal guy or I can tell them I'm there for an insurance seminar. So
yeah,
I balance which one's going to be weirder for this guy. And a lot of times they'll look at me and go, oh, you really believe in that? And I'm like, well, yeah, I've had a lot of experiences. And they're like, yeah, I don't know that I believe in that. But when I was a kid, and then they launch into some story about weird experience. So a lot of people have it, and they just don't know how to validate it, so they put it away. They shelve it.
My favorite is pretty much every culture on Earth believes in the paranormal to some extent.
Right.
But
some
most
more than
of
others,
the time,
yes.
Yeah, some more than others. And most of the time when they tell the stories, you know, they'll tell a ghost story and they say, I totally believe it was a ghost. Or it's like, mm-hmm. I'm almost positive it was a ghost. If you talk to people in Iceland, certain people, especially older people, about weird stuff that happens, they'll be like, it's elves.
Elves and trolls, yeah.
I don't believe it's elves. It just is elves. It's a fact that elves did this.
Right. Was it 2000, I think 2008 or 9, they had to reroute an entire road in Iceland because they were building a new highway and they came upon like a fairy fort. And they're like, we can't disturb that. Yeah. They're going to go crazy.
Yeah.
And they had to in the 21st century.
Mm-hmm. They're still,
they had to reroute a road to not piss off the trolls and fairies.
Yeah, it's rare to see a culture that's like so
assured of
they're
it. Right.
Sure. They're 100% sure about the elves and trolls.
Well, Japan, they build their buildings for the spirits and and dragons and stuff. There's buildings you'll see that have giant holes in them because they don't want to interrupt the energy flow for these spirits. And when they have, businesses have failed. There's been fires.
Really?
Earthquakes have taken down the buildings. Weird things happen. And it's kind of like they just accept it. It is part of our culture. And these, you know, we just have to pay homage to the spirits and to the ethereal realm, and everything is fine.
Yeah, you'll see amulets on trees and rocks and stuff, and it's because there's a kami living in there.
Yeah.
No, we leave the kami alone, and it doesn't bother us.
Well, don't you think there's also something to the collective ideas of things? Like, when people believe so strongly that there are these things, then it can kind of give a shift to what reality actually is.
Right, but then how do you explain people like Dr. Eben Alexander, who is a neuroscientist, brain surgeon, and was a devout atheist, and then had a near-death experience, and it's totally changed his life. He didn't have any of those preconceived beliefs, but yet he had this near-death experience, this religious moment, and it totally changed him. And there are people like that that, I'm not a believer, doesn't happen, whatever. You know, Dr. Michael Shermer from Skeptic Magazine, he's built an entire career on being a logical, forward-thinking guy. And when he got married like 10 years ago, they had an old radio that belonged to his fiance's dad. And when they mentioned, boy, I wish your dad could have been here for this, the radio turned on and played his favorite song and then powered off. And it hadn't worked in 30 years and has never gone on again, and it still doesn't work. And he will tell you, I cannot explain that. Can I say it was a ghost? No, because I can't. There's no way to quantify that challenge. But that was weird. That was weird. So it's just how you want to perceive it. So there are people that do not believe, and it is not part of their lexicon, but they have weird experiences happen in spite of that.
Yeah. Well, I was a kid like 9 or 10 when my grandparents started sort of dying off right around in that age group. And at 9 and 10, you start realizing about the fact that you're not immortal.
Yeah.
You know, and death becomes, you know, you've had it probably a dog or some sort of pet that's died.
When did Clayton die?
You were probably 7.
Yeah, that is, I remember that was the moment when you told me that Clayton had cancer. That was the moment I was like, death is a thing.
Yep. Yeah. I don't know what happens at a certain age where you just realize that you're not going to live forever. Yep. And it does get scary. And I remember when my grandparents died and I saw them at the end of the bed. And of course, they didn't say anything. They just stood there and freaked me out like mad. I never shared that story with anybody because I was also old enough to know that if I said something like that, first of all, my brothers probably would have teased me till I ran away from home. And also, it's like people are going to think you're crazy if you say you saw a ghost.
Right.
You know, because you're old enough to know that you're not supposed to be seeing these things. And then when you do, you better keep it to yourself because otherwise. And then also there was another, like, I don't remember. I think it was my grandmother died. And I swear, I walked into my bedroom. I saw a form of a human being under my blanket. And I said, Grandma? And then it just poof went down. And I remember thinking, I am either crazy. I'm 12. I'm nuts. Or I just saw a ghost. But I never got afraid of my room. You know, I never was afraid of the house.
Well, it was grandma. It wasn't like some severed head creature.
No demons.
In your
closet. I don't know what was under there because I never really saw. I didn't know what it was.
But you were fine compartmentalizing that it was grandma.
Because she just had died.
Right.
Right.
You know, so, and I had already seen grandpa. So I'm like, okay. That weird stuff that happens, is it just your psyche trying, you know,
dealing with the grieving,
the fact that they're dead? Yeah, exactly. So, I mean, sometimes it could just be that. And maybe sometimes it's a ghost. I don't know.
They've got some really fascinating stories out there, too, that they've tracked where, you know, the little kid is talking to somebody and constantly talking to this person. And then they start, when they're of the age, they can describe what the person looks like. You know, great grandma will come for a visit and she happens to have her photo album with, and they flip through it and there's the guy, and the kid will be like, that's Ben. That's who I'm talking to. And she's like, my God, that's my brother Ben. He died in 1938. They've Whoa. Never seen this picture. How could this kid be talking to the spirit? So again, yeah. it kind of goes outside the blurred lines of, well, if sure. you're a believer, you're going to have these experiences. Right. I think, you know, especially with children, they're probably more apt to see it. A, their eyes are configured in a way that they haven't fully evolved. They know that kids can see in different wavelengths when they're first born until about mm-hmm. the age of 4 or 5, because the cones and rods are spread differently. And then as they come more into focus, it changes what we can and cannot see. Then, like you said, people, you were so afraid to mention anything because you don't want your brothers to make fun of you. So we start pushing that down and away. So we don't see, we don't notice these things. And there are things that can be right there in plain sight that you don't notice. And Dr. Shermer does this great discussion, and he shows a video and he goes, all right, I want you to watch. We have 2 basketball teams of 3. One's dressed in red, one's dressed in black. There's the orange basketball. Count how many times the guys in black touch the basketball.
I know what you're talking about.
And you watch the video, and then he goes, okay, how many times? And everybody calls out different numbers. And he goes, did you notice anything else weird about it? Nope, nope. And maybe one person in the audience did. And he's like, what did you see? And they said the gorilla walked into the mm-hmm. middle of them. And they're like, what?
What?
Yeah, and then you watch really? The video, and he goes, let's watch it again. And you watch it, and you're so busy watching the guys in red pass the basketball, and all of a sudden, sure enough, a guy in a full gorilla costume yep. walks in, stops in the middle, and then turns around and walks out. But your brain is so focused on something yeah. else that you can miss sure. a man really? In a gorilla suit walking in front of you.
God, right. that's amazing.
Yeah, people are very good at focusing.
Yeah.
When they need to.
When they need to, yeah.
Not always. Nope. Just, you know, sometimes. Yeah.
So it's fun, right? Kids have these abilities. I think we tamp them down.
Probably true. I just learned something, or remembered something, because I guess I knew this before. But my great-grandmother, Susan Bernard, the woman that showed up in my bedroom, was talking to me, and then I found out she was dead.
Mm-hmm.
She was 104 years old when she died.
That's pretty old. Wow.
100 years older than me. I was 4, and she was 104.
Well, so what?
1955.
When was she? So she was born in 1851?
Yep.
Jeez.
I know, isn't that weird, Andy? When you think my dad's grandfather was around during the Civil War, yeah, you're like, wait a minute, what?
It feels like,
how is that possible?
I know, it's like, you might as well tell me that your grandpa assassinated Julius Caesar or something. It's,
I know, when you think about the modern age and how things aren't going to probably change too terribly much in the future. I mean, they're just not. Maybe computers will get stronger and be yeah. more of a yeah. presence
but
in our life.
Compared but not compared to 1851 to 1951.
Compared to, yeah, even yeah. my grandmother. She had to sew her own clothes.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
They didn't have department stores. You just think about that stuff. That's not that long ago. No. And now we can't even have...
My mom grew up in Marinette, Wisconsin, and went to a one-room schoolhouse.
Yeah. Wow.
Yeah. Yeah, and that was still the 50s. The 1950s. Mm-hmm. I mean, and you're like, that's great. But, you know, we're coming up on the 100th anniversary of that real soon, too.
My grandparents, the ones that haunted me.
Yeah.
Yeah, there you go.
I don't think that was a haunting. I think it was, if it was anything, it was a visit. They had, I would go and visit them in Vesely, Minnesota, which is very near New Prague, mm-hmm. Minnesota.
Oh, yeah.
They lived in a house with a pump in the kitchen sink. An outhouse. This is, I mean, mm-hmm. I'm not that old, and that's how they were living.
Yep.
That's how they were living.
Yeah.
I mean, it's just like, what?
You got that there. Indoor plumbing. It's funny when you go to towns like Savannah, Georgia, or where they've got these old ancient mansions, and there's one in town. They're like, this is the first house that got electric lighting inside. Mm-hmm. And they used to allow people to come in for like a penny or a dime just to go in and push the button to turn the lights on and off.
And gotta pay that, that electric bill.
They would burn them out because people were like, click, wow, click, whoa. Yeah. Click. And now we're like 4D movies and we're like, oh, these are so boring. You just think about the fact we're like, lights.
Exactly.
Well, sometimes I think about it. It's like, so Ethan likes watching me play really old games.
Mm-hmm.
Like Mario Brothers 2 was one of the things he likes.
Yeah.
And that came out when I was, I don't know, maybe like 4, a very long time ago. And by the time he's old enough to play games, we're going to be on like the PlayStation 6.
He'll be stepping into the game.
Yeah, it's going to be a kind of experience that I couldn't even dreamed of at his age. And it's only just one generation. The technology is just completely different. And then a generation before me, I don't think they even had a home console yet in the 50s. The Magnavox Odyssey was the first home console, and I don't think that was
there
out
was Atari.
Yet.
There was a there
that was
an
much
Atari.
Later.
Yeah, that was the late 70s, mid 70s, late 70s. Yeah,
yeah, that's the one I remember. My dad brought that home one day, and I was like, that is not something that Donald John Brandt would ever do, is bring home a fun thing for the kids.
And we used to save, my mom and dad and I would save up and throw a buck like a week each into a little jar so we could afford to buy a game, which at the time was bonkers. They were like $60 in 1981 for a video game. And I don't know what that equates to, at probably $10,000 now, right? I'm not good with math.
Yeah.
But it's bonkers how much those cost. And when my kids start complaining about the graphics of their video games, I go, come here. And then I pull up on YouTube and I make them watch Raiders of the Lost Ark video game that I spent weeks playing.
Have them watch Pong.
Yeah. This is Kaboom.
Yeah.
You can play it for 45 seconds before getting bored.
That's so boring.
I know. Sometimes it's like people are like, I think Tears of the Kingdom, the new Zelda game, it went up $10, so it was $70. And people are like, $70? It's the biggest ripoff in the world. Games can't possibly be that much. I mean, when you watch the credits for these modern games, some of the credit rolls are half an hour long. Because
so many people went into these
games. And so the Magnavox Odyssey I just pulled up, it didn't have graphics. Everything was on an overlay. So like if you wanted to play hide and seek, you'd put an overlay over your TV, and then you'd have your cursor go hide somewhere, and someone would just have to point and say, I think it's there.
What?
That cost the equivalent of $700.
Oh.
In 1972.
One of my dad's favorite cartoons as a kid was Tinky, not Tinky Winky. What was it? It's something like Tinky Winky Dink. That's what it was.
Oh, Winky Dink.
And you used to have to put this, you'd save up your box tops and you'd get a screen, a plastic screen you'd put on your TV. And then in the cartoon, Winky Dink would fall into a hole and you had your magic crayon and you could draw the ladder. And then Winky Dink would climb up the ladder and climb out. So it was that was interactive, a fun little interactive idea back in the day. But yeah, those are... They show you that the evolution has been there for a long time. But yeah, what's to come? I can't even imagine. VR games. You are literally standing in a haunted house in some of these VR games, walking around, looking at things, seeing things. Those unnerve me. I can go into an actual haunted house and not feel the kind of agitation and fear I do playing in a VR game.
Poor Judith.
So weird about that, too. Oh, poor Judith coughing up a storm. Yeah, thinking about that, I was thinking about this while you were talking, and it's hard for me to believe this, but we lived at 1200 Spruce Place right there on Loring Park when I was a little boy. We moved there when I was like 3, lived there till I was, think, 5, something like that. But the reason I bring it up is...
That's an older part of Minneapolis.
It is a very old part of Minneapolis. There are about 100 apartments in that building because it's 4 stories and it's an entire city block long. So I'm just guessing there are about 100 apartments in there. We had the very first television in that building, one of the first televisions in Minneapolis, because my dad actually worked back then. Of course, soon after that, he stopped. But I was thinking about that.
Got his TV, wanted to stay home.
We got a television in 1955, because I was just thinking about that Susan Bernard thing, because I watched TV that day, too, for like the third time in my life. But thinking about that. We got the very first television in 1955, and now look where television is.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
It's not broadcast anymore. It's all streaming.
Yeah.
I mean, it's just so different in that, 65-year period of time. Look how, what's coming now that 65 years from now you're going to go, oh, God, look how old that is.
If I knew, right? I would be a billionaire.
Well, that's true. That's very true. But my God, it's moving really, really fast. Look, television's never been better, don't get me wrong. Streaming television is amazing, no question.
Some of it.
Well, some of it, not all. Yeah,
let's
right
not get carried away, Tom. It's not all amazing.
It's all magnificent.
Yeah, Jersey Shore. I'm just going to lay that out there.
Yeah, there you go.
Yeah.
Is that still a thing?
I don't even know. No, I think so, because I keep seeing like them popping up on commercials. Why would they? I don't know. That and the Real Housewives of series and bonkers stuff, right? Yeah. Thank God for paranormal TV programming so we bring some legitimacy to the market.
Okay, we have to tell people, because we only got a few minutes left of the show, we got to tell people where they can get your book.
Sure. Oh, yeah, you can get my book. It's called Theater of the Mind, Tales from the Darkness. And it is on Amazon.com. You can get physical copies or ebook version right there. And you can also order signed copies from Paranormal60.com. Just scroll down the front page, and you'll see the banners there to do so. And if I can make a quick mention for your Minnesota listeners and fans, I'm going to be in Mankato this weekend at the Psychic Paranormal Wellness Fair that's taking place at the Country Inn and Suites Mankato, 10 a.m. to 5 p.m. on May 4th and 5th. I'll be out there doing a talk and hanging out. Winnie's going to be there, my wife. She's going to be doing tarot readings. So we'll be out there all weekend. And then this September 16th and 17th, I'll be back at the Palmer House Hotel with...
I love the Palmer House.
Yeah, with Shane Pittman from The Holzer Files and 28 Days Haunted and Sarah Lemos, the medium. She'll be on it with us, and we're going to be doing a full weekend event, and tickets are on sale right now at darknessevents.com if you want to come up and investigate a haunted site with us and hear cool presentations and be part of paranormal experiments all weekend. That's going to be this September 16th and 17th in Sauk Center, Minnesota at the Palmer House. Tickets at darknessevents.com.
By the way, another tie-in, Susan Barnard lived in Sauk Center, Minnesota.
Dun, dun, dun.
Synchronicity.
Look at all the tie-ins, man. Does that mean that I'm going to eventually cack and be living in Sauk Center in the hotel?
Not you. So. I'm pretty sure you're just going to be a head in a jar still doing your radio shows.
Futurama style.
If he has anything to say about it, he
exactly,
will be.
Exactly, right.
I'll have the jumper cables on him every morning at 8 a.m.
I was born 20 miles from there in Long Prairie, Minnesota.
Yeah, yes. Amazing place. And the Palmer House is crazy haunted. We just had some really weird experiences. Afterwards, I'll send you a couple of the little video EVPs I caught, Catherine. You can show Tom. It's really, really bizarre, the stuff we got there this last time.
Okay. Now, when are you going again?
September, 16th and 17th.
God, I got to go up there with you one of these times. I would love to do that.
Well, yeah, when you're back up, we'll find a weekend to go up there and kick around for a day, and you can see some of the weird stuff that's going on in Sauk Center, Minnesota. Great place.
And why the Palmer House? Why is it so haunted?
It's over 100 years old. It was made in 1901, but before it was the Sauk Center House on the exact same footprint. That burned to the ground, and that had been around since, I think, the early 1800s. So this place has seen a lot. They also used to use the basement as a makeshift morgue during influenza. Yeah, they used to store bodies in the cold basement there. It was a rollover for the hospital in town, I guess. There's, you know, hotels. It was a brothel at one point. There's been a lot of sordid history that would lend itself to tragedies that have taken place there. So it's well worth a visit, that's for sure.
Yeah, we got to get up there. I've never been there. I mean, in Sauk Center a million times in my life, but I've never been in that hotel. But everybody tells me it's a really good time.
Yeah. Yeah, it's fascinating. And the people that Kelly Fries and her husband, Brett, that own it, they do a remarkable job of keeping history alive and allowing people in there to investigate. They were reluctant. They didn't believe in the ghosts and paranormal when they bought the place. It wasn't until the ghosts started making themselves known that they stepped back and said, all right, well, apparently we own a haunted hotel now. And they just learned to embrace it. And there's been so much activity. I think like 5 or 6 TV shows have filmed there. Ghost Hunters or Ghost Adventures, Dead Files, Ghost Adventures Aftershocks, My Haunted Hotel. All these different programs have featured it because it lives up to its reputation.
All right. Well,
I love it.
Quick pieces of listener feedback before we leave.
Yes, sir.
Officer Dave says the gorilla basketball video, they use that in Driver's Ed to show how distractions can affect your focus, which is a fair point. That's like target fixation when you start focusing on one thing and you just tune out the entire world. It's not a good thing to do when driving. No. And our listener Jim has a friend with a $62,000 race car simulator. It's got 3 screens and a seat that simulates the G-force of you driving.
Holy cow.
So, yeah, imagine that coming out in the 70s. I don't think
Where was that?
His friend has it.
I can imagine it, but there'd be lava lamps involved.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah, there you go.
And can I mention one other thing, guys? I'm an official fill-in over at WCCO now, so you can tune in and catch me on WCCO radio from time to time.
So you and George Soros are hanging out together.
Yeah, we're over. I'm over doing that a couple times a month now.
You doing the livestock reports or what?
Yes. Heads of cattle are down.
Sheep futures are looking.
No, we're. It's great, and I have a good time. I've had a chance to fill in on just about every spot from the 9 a.m. till 9 p.m. spots on WCCO. So it's always a good time.
Your dulcet tones.
Yes. True. One of my favorite people in the world, little Chad Hartman. Love that guy.
Yeah.
You work with Chad?
Oh, yeah. Yeah, I filled in for Chad a couple of times. Yeah, and what's funny, I worked over at iHeartRadio for so long that one day I was filling in, and I go, yeah, Dave Schrader filling in for Chad Abbott. And the producer stopped and looked at me, and he goes, what? And
I'm like, sorry, Chad Hartman.
Yeah. So.
Well, tell Chad I said hello if you see him.
I will,
great
sir.
Great guy.
Thank you very much for having me on.
Dave, you got to come back more often, man.
Yeah,
we miss having you on.
I'd love to.
Stay in touch with Andy. You two work.
Buy his book.
Buy my book.
And that too. All right, we'll talk to you tomorrow. Thanks.
Okay, bye.